The first reading is from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 3. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' This is the gospel of the Lord." Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a woman at an Easter service who looked around and saw all the people. And on her way out, she said to the pastor, "Do you think it made a difference?" And he looked at her and says, "I don't quite get what you're getting at here." And she says, "Do you think it'll matter to the people in church on Monday morning that today was Easter Sunday? What difference does Easter make?" Well, Easter obviously is a religious holiday, and it's certainly not as commercialized as Christmas. Easter is my favorite holiday. A great Christmas card I saw years ago was an Easter egg. And it says, "Without this, I couldn't wish you a Merry Christmas." There is an awful lot of wisdom in a little Christmas card that I saw many years ago. Sure, Easter today's got bunnies and chocolate and Easter egg hunts and things like that, but it's still a religious event. That's the focus of today for the most part. What difference does it make? It makes a difference in three different areas. The first is we live in the presence of a living Lord. Second, we have a sense of peace. And third, we have a life marked with purpose. We are in the living presence of Christ through Easter, and it does make a difference in our lives. There's a story of nurses in a hospital, children's ward, terminally ill kids. And the nurses didn't stay there long. They would ask for a transfer of assignment or a change in station. Even the parents found it hard to stay and enter with these failing lives. But one man made a difference. He dressed up as a clown and went into this children's ward. And he gave hope to the children. The children were happy to see him and laughed. The nurses grew to like him over time because he did bring hope to a hopeless situation. And the parents, even they, finally came around and said he serves a purpose. He gives the children hope. Living in the presence of the living Lord gives us hope for eternity. Hope because he lives, so too will we live. We do not live in despair, we live in hope. And life does not go on the same because of Easter. Because of Easter, people feel the renewing power of Christ. In other words, we don't have to live with the guilt of sin. Sin was paid for on the cross. We don't have to live with the pain of death because there is a resurrection. Because he rose from the dead, we too shall rise. And even though we suffer pain in this world, God either uses it to teach us a lesson, uses us to accomplish his purpose, or uses us to help someone else. Easter does make a difference because the living Lord is living with us, and he does bring hope, change, renewal, courage, and strength into our lives. Robert Louis Stevenson told the story about a boy from the country who came to visit his grandparents in the city. And he was sitting on the porch at night when it was dark outside. The street was pitch black. And he saw a man go up to each one of the lampposts, do something, and all of a sudden the light would come on. And as he did this to all the street lights, suddenly the street was lit up like broad daylight. And the little boy rushed into his grandparents and yelled at the top of his little lungs, "There's a man poking holes in the darkness." Living in the presence of Christ pokes holes into the darkness. The second, Easter makes a difference because through that experience, we have a profound sense of peace in our lives. Peace from God because he is in control of all things. I'm certainly glad that's true because every time I try to put myself in control of all things, I fall flat on my face. I got to rely more on him that he is in charge of all things. Remember the story of doubting Thomas. Thomas, who was not in the room when Jesus came that first Easter night. But Thomas was trying to find peace on his own. He was searching for peace without Christ present. And he found true peace when he saw Jesus and declared, "My Lord and my God." There is peace to the Easter message, which says we belong to God regardless of the circumstances of life. Story of a little boy named Charlie who had a terminal disease. And he asked his mother, what would death be like? So she thought about it for a little while and she says, "Charlie, do you remember when you lay in front of the TV and you watch TV too long and you fall asleep in the living room, but you wake up in your own room?" He says, "Yes." She says, "Death is kind of like that. Death is like waking up some morning and finding ourselves in another room, in a place where we belong, safe in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the peace which Christ gives to our lives. The knowledge, the conviction, the comfort, the confidence that we belong to him, no matter what happens in this life or this earth, we belong to God. Easter makes a difference because there is a peace and a sense of God's blessing. The Easter experience, the Easter resurrection brings to life, even in the worst of circumstances, a sense that God is in control of all things and that we belong to him and somehow life can go on through and in him. The peace which passes all human understanding is how I close every sermon, because that's part of the message of Easter, the peace which passes all understanding. The third way Easter makes a difference in our lives is it gives purpose to our lives with a goal and direction. It's just a story, but when birds were first created, they didn't have wings. So they just hopped around and they looked up into the sky and they saw the sky and wished they could be up there, but they had no way of doing it. So God came down and put wings on the birds. And at first the birds were mad. "Why'd you put this burden on me? Now I got to carry around this extra weight." Until one bird started to flap his wings and started to fly. Then the birds realized that what they thought was a burden was truly a great blessing. The message of the Easter gospel is the responsibility of living Christ-like lives, that we are living as a, that we live as a living temple to Him. It's a so-called burden put on us at our baptism, but the burden is truly blessing. It gives us a sense of purpose. When the gospel message becomes more than a weight, more than a burden, when it's viewed as a gift to enrich life, then life has such freedom, such power, such courage, such strength. There is no limit to what can be done. Easter makes a difference only and if only you are willing to carry the burden, carry the gift of this gospel with us in our walk down the road of life. People do try to live without the burden, the responsibility, the direction of the Easter message. They change directions, though, as a result of the wind. Whichever way the wind blows, that's where they go. They have no purpose in life. They wander aimlessly on the road we call life. Maybe if we carried our burden of God's grace in our lives in a way that was not seen as a burden, but as a gift which adds, not subtracts, to it, then life would take on a meaning, a purpose, a sense of direction, as God's grace leads us to His will. I'd like to close with an old story. This is in the days before buses and cars, but a man was walking down the street and he saw this young boy carrying a bundle on his back. And when he got closer, he realized it wasn't a bundle, it was another little boy who was obviously lamed and crippled. And the man said to him, "Why are you doing this?" And he says, "Well, I have to." And the man says, "It's a terrible burden for you to carry." And the little boy answered, "No, it's not a burden. He's my brother." The burden of God's grace is really no burden because it's carried out in love. Our love for God and our God's love for us. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.